Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to be with you on this Tuesday. We're taking your phone calls. We're going to have debate highlights from the U.S. Senate race debate hosted by the Montana Broadcasters Association on Sunday morning. Plus, we've got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us here as we take your phone calls and more. John, great to see you on the show. You know, the biggest takeaway from this debate from my standpoint is, because you had John Tester, Democrat Senator John Tester, trying to trash this Navy SEAL veteran, Tim Sheehy. I don't think I heard him once thank Tim Sheehy and his wife, Carmen. He's a Navy SEAL. She's a Marine. I didn't hear John Tester once thank them for their service and their sacrifice for this country. But oddly enough, it was Tim Sheehy who was the bigger man of the two and thanked John Tester for his several years of public service. And it's like, wow, this non-veteran John Tester can't thank a combat veteran for his service and sacrifice, Purple Heart, Bronze Star for Valor, you know, away from family. But, you know, Tim Sheehy was the bigger man and at least acknowledged Senator Tester. To me, that's very symbolic, I think.
Expect no grace from these people, and you'll never be disappointed. You know, ask no quarter and give none. That needs to be our motto right now. And like we were talking about during the break, you see how both of them were trying to address the audience and be very, very cool. It wasn't your typical like debates that you see a lot of times. They're trying to be very, very cool. And like you were pointing out, Tester is trying desperately, really, to just be as quiet as he can, to sit over in the corner and just not make a move. He's like the rabbit that knows the fox is on his on his trail, and just one move is going to get him eaten. So he's just like being very quiet and very cool and not really wanting to talk very much.
That is a very good description, because while I was filling up coffee earlier this morning, Paul Mushaven from the country station in Billings asked me, because I told him, I said, hey, I finally watched that debate. And he said, well, did we learn anything new? And I was like, you know, good question. I was trying to think if there was any new policy points that were brought up, anything like that. But I said the thing that was interesting to me was you could see how age is wearing on John Tester. I mean, he kept kind of flapping his jaw like he had a, you know, I'm not trying to be mean here. He just kept making these weird mouth movements like he had a bad set of dentures. But I think he was deliberately, like you say, he was deliberately trying to be quiet and not really say anything, trying to do a couple of jabs here and there, but not really say anything. Because I think if you're John Tester, you don't want the people of Montana to watch this debate, because they will see just how impressive this Navy SEAL, Tim Sheehy, really is. I mean, he had a command of the issues. He had a command presence. He was the bigger man. He was much more diplomatic and senatorial than the near two-decade senator himself was, that's for sure. The highlight that I want to start with first is about Butte. It's about Colstrip and the ramifications we could see if this Biden-Tester green agenda continues.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Obviously, I want to share some clips talking about our this invasion on our southern border and the impacts on the ground here in Montana, foreign policy and more. But I thought this was one of the more interesting remarks of the debate between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and Liberal Senator John Tester. This was about, probably 45 minutes or so into the debate Sunday morning at the Montana Broadcasters Association convention when the topic of energy came up.
Bottom line is American energy is the bedrock of our economy. Every household. I was just happened to be in Montana Resources the other day, had a privilege of seeing the mining operation. You know, they're one of the, if not the largest consumer of electricity in Montana. Most of the equipment operating that facility is electric. If Colstrip goes under and power prices increase anymore, there's a possibility the mine can no longer make things pencil. That's going to be terrible for the state's economy and obviously for the Deer Lodge area. What we have to focus on is producing as affordable energy as possible for all Americans. We're at gas prices double what they were when President Trump was in office. The war on American energy is real. We're seeing EV mandates that are trying to take away your pickup truck and put you in a Yaris. We're seeing regulations being rolled out that literally, through the Green New Deal, thanks to Biden's radical EPA, that are going to shut down Colstrip, driving up energy costs for Montana all across the state. We need to unleash American energy. We need to make America a net energy exporter. We need to put us on sound, firm footing in our energy sector so our companies don't have to wonder if when the next administration comes in, they're going to take away their licenses to drill and make cheap energy for Americans.
All right, John, I thought that was one of the more important points that was made in the debate because, okay, Liberal Senator John Tester, you and I know this. He was the deciding vote against the Keystone XL pipe, or he voted against the Keystone XL pipeline when it mattered the most. He has done nothing to stand up to this open borders invasion by Joe Biden. In fact, he stood with Joe Biden 95% of the time. But even if he was the moderate that he claims to be on TV, even if he was a champion of the Keystone Pipeline, even if he was a champion of Colstrip, even if he was a champion of securing our border, he's a massive failure. And that's just – I mean, look at how many timber mills we've lost in the years John Tester's been back there. Look at the other ag infrastructure we've lost in eastern Montana. We lost Colstrip 1 and 2 because of John Tester's environmental wacko buddies attacking Colstrip, and now we could lose Colstrip 3 and 4. So even if he was on our side truly on all of these issues, he's failed.
Well, look, all everybody needs to know is his voting record. Everything that comes out of people's mouths is just Adam Schiff. Look at the voting record. He votes with Joe Biden almost 100% of the time. And it is 100% of the time on the votes that matter, on the key issues. He'll abstain here and there on votes that never really matter. We're never really going anywhere. But on all the key issues, he is with Joe Biden every single time. And if you want 4 more years of Joe Biden's policies, go vote for John Tester in November.
Well, and that's the thing. Why not just be honest? Just be honest. Say why you believe what you believe. Say why you voted the way you voted. But he won't do it because he knows that it is guaranteed to lose him the election if he were actually honest with the people of Montana. That was a point that Morgan and Helena sent in on our Montana Talks app. What type of man lies about how he votes? Shouldn't Tester be proud of his decisions representing Montana and spotlight them? The one thing that Tester was honest about that I thought was very interesting was about foreign policy and massive government spending going to other countries. He openly embraced all of that, which I thought I was surprised that he openly embraced that the way he did. I'll get to that here in a second. But first, let's go to JJ in Kalispell. JJ, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for your service and John, too. But I read an article in the Gateway Pundit last night. It's still there this morning that the Water Resources Director in Idaho is cutting off water to 500,000 acres in eastern Idaho. It affects 6,400 water rights holders, and it's mostly probably potato farms. And I'm just wondering, you know, if they can do that in Idaho, how long until they start doing that here in Montana? I'm not sure where the Milk River Project is, you know, how in status, but, you know, that's another way for them to attack agriculture.
That's right. Well, the Milk River, I could tell you what I heard from Marco Manukian when I was in Malta back in December. I mean, think about all of the massive amounts of government spending that we've seen in the last 3 years. That's the reason everything costs so much. That's the reason a Big Mac that was $3.99 in 2019 is now, what are they saying, $8.29 based on the national average because of massive government spending, a lot of which is going to all these other countries. Marco in Malta told me how, you know, basically with just the money that's been sent to Ukraine alone, you could have funded like 110 of these St. Mary's Milk River irrigation projects in Montana, a project that is still massively underfunded and in need of repair. Yeah, so JJ, that's very interesting. It actually ties in with a clip I want to play from Senator John Tester after the next break. Because what is Joe Biden doing right now? He wants to tear out these hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. Not only does it threaten electricity prices, but it also threatens agriculture too. John, I don't know what it's going to take to get people to finally wake up. Maybe they're waking up and we won't see the results till November.
Quote from Plato right here, Aaron. The price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men.
That's a great quote. All right, we'll hold it right there. I'm going to play audio of Senator Tester openly embracing this massive amount of government spending, going to all these other countries instead of here.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, John, some breaking news here before we get back into these debate highlights from the Sheehy Tester debate at the Montana Broadcasters Convention Sunday morning. Breaking news. This came, actually, we got this from Mark in Butte. Mark in Butte called in with the breaking news. And Mark in Butte, we heard it from Mark in Butte first. And then I just got this alert, breaking news alert, from the Associated Press. President Biden's son, Hunter, convicted of 3 felony charges related to a gun purchase, including making a false claim by saying he was not a drug user. So thanks to Mark in Butte for that news. The New York Times. What are you laughing about? Oh, no.
Look at this. Lives of TikTok. He's convicted on all 3 counts, and it shows him laying in that bed with that crack pipe coming up.
Oh, yeah. Have you been having trouble sleeping at night? Do you need a CPAP?
Just a crack pipe. Yeah. It knocks me right out.
That's
yeah.
much better than the New York Times breaking news alert I just got there.
Well, Aaron, I mean, oh my gosh, aren't we going to have to have on every single ad and every single Republican and every single word out of Donald Trump's mouth from now to November would be, Joe Biden's son is a convicted felon. Joe Biden raised a convicted felon. We're going to have to say convicted felon. I mean, 10,000 times by every Republican and every person on every airwave everywhere. Okay, that's how it works, right? That's the rules.
You know, here's why I'm kind of like, you know, Hunter Biden sitting in a hotel room with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth, kind of like, meh. This isn't the big story. The big story is the big guy. The reason why they lied about Hunter Biden's laptop, it wasn't to protect Hunter Biden. Everybody knew Hunter Biden. He's been a train wreck his entire life, right? The big story, and I interviewed the guy who found Hunter Biden's laptop, who helped, you know, find that guy in that computer store and got that laptop to people to break the story, the real story, and then, you know, big tech suppressed and lied about it. The 3-letter agencies lied about it. You had the 51 spies who lied about it. They all knew it was real, but they didn't lie about Hunter Biden's laptop to protect Hunter. They lied to protect the big guy because it shows what Joe Biden himself is accused of and is suspected of. And that's who they're protecting. So ultimately, they are throwing his son under the bus to protect him.
Well, what drives me nuts is this refrain in the media. And it has been going on for 4 years now. And you will hear it. You hear it to this day. You'll hear it today. When they talk about Hunter Biden and Joe, what they'll say is Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings, your son's overseas business dealings. Hey, news flash to everybody. Hunter Biden doesn't have any overseas business dealings. He is and was and always will be Joe's bag man. That's all he was doing, was going there and picking up the cash for the big guy, right? Yeah. He doesn't have any over, which is why he was a perennial drug addict scumbag his whole life, because that was his job, was being to be a bag man.
And they want to have this fake narrative. You'll see this fake narrative on MSNBC and CNN later today, where they'll say, oh, see, the justice system is fair. See, they had this fraudulent political persecution against Donald J. Trump, which is based in zero fact, zero evidence, zero law. And yet they have, I mean, whereas this is an open shut case against Hunter Biden, but ultimately they're doing two things here. One, they are protecting the big guy and throwing the son under the bus. And two, they are creating the false narrative that somehow, oh, see, we went after Trump and a Biden.
Aaron, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say this every week on your show and all over Twitter. How can we ever have a man in the White House that has a son as a convicted felon? How can we do that? That needs to be our message from here to November now, because that is the left's message. That, I mean, they have been smearing Donald Trump with their kangaroo court verdict now for 2 weeks. And now our side needs to jump on this with both feet.
Well, also, let me remind you, remember former Democrat Senator Max Baucus of Montana? Remember they bought him off, made him ambassador to China? Who do you think was there for the handshake agreements between Hunter and the communist Chinese business folks? Max Baucus. Look at the photographs. You see him there gladly making those handshakes happen. And so Max Baucus is and then, of course, Max Baucus has done very well for himself by also profiting off of Chinese businesses and being directly involved with communist Chinese businesses. So
yeah, you think that he blackmailed Barack Hussein Obama to leave his Senate seat early? You think he blackmailed him with a job to go over to be the ambassador to China because he likes Chinese food? Don't think so.
No. Well, I'm pretty good at their checkers. I've escaped their finger trap.
That was a classic Jon Stewart Daily Show segment when even the leftist Jon Stewart mocked Obama for like putting all these people up to be ambassadors that had zero clue about the countries they were taking over. And he went after Baucus. I'm no expert on China. So you want to be the ambassador to China? You know, like, oh my
How long
goodness.
Does it take you to just get a briefing? Get a freaking briefing on the country, and then you've got your talking points in front of you. You can answer questions. What's the matter with you?
Look at what Max Baucus did for the communist Chinese businesses with his years on the finance committee. And yet, look, it was Max Baucus who put liberal judge Don Malloy on the bench. Don Malloy is the reason why we lost so many sawmills and so much of our timber industry over these past few decades. Liberal federal judges that Democrat senators put on the bench. That's why this question is so important. The fact that clip that I shared about Tim Sheehy talking about the importance of Colstrip. We lost Colstrip 1 and 2 because of John Tester. Now they want to take out Colstrip 3 and 4. We lose Colstrip 3 and 4. We potentially lose Montana Resources in Butte. That's it. If you're in Butte, America, and you vote for John Tester, you are supporting your own demise by doing so. All right, let's get to the foreign policy front here. I was telling John during the break, you know, back in 2006, John Tester, what did he campaign on? He sounded like an America First candidate. He was against the war. He was against all this massive government spending. How many wars have we been in thanks to Joe Biden and John Tester? Look at the wars they got us into right now. Ukraine wasn't invaded when Donald J. Trump was president. You know, Putin took advantage of the Biden weak foreign policy to invade Ukraine. But John Tester made it sound like he was against this government spending. The national debt went from $6 trillion in 2006 to nearly $35 trillion now. He made it sound like he was against all this foreign intervention. And yet here he is, openly embracing it in that debate Sunday morning.
Vladimir Putin unnecessarily invaded a country next door to him that wanted to be democracy. They wanted to be like us. Those are Zelensky's words, not mine. We want to be like you guys. All you have to do is read your history to find out that we had people like Putin in previous parts of this world that created situations that resulted in World War II. I think it's important we support democracies. I think it's important we support Ukraine. And remember this, Stuart. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, they're all connected. All those conflicts are connected, whether you're talking the Indo-Pacific or whether you're talking Ukraine or whether you're talking Israel. And the bottom line is that we need to support those folks. And by the way, most of the money that was in that Ukraine package was spent right here.
All right. So, there you go. A full-throated defense by John Tester of your taxpayer dollars being spent everywhere. Now, He voted for it. Again, I will say that is the rare instance where he actually told the truth. All of his other monologues were him, you know, basically lying, claiming to be in support of securing the border when he voted against securing the border. But this was a rare instance of John Tester telling the truth. I just think it's a truth that most Montanans will not support in this instance because they're sick of the government spending. They're sick of the foreign entanglements. Listen to how Tim Sheehy responds.
Well, we do have to support free nations and we have to support democracy. And I hope Ukraine wins. But the reality is, while we have a wide open border and Americans are dying every single day, we don't have the wherewithal to fight Israel's war with Hamas, protect South Korea from North Korea, protect Taiwan from China, protect Ukraine from Russia, and protect all of Western Europe and secure the globe's seas, which we've been doing for 100 years. The entire world depends on a strong America. I support Ukraine's right to independence. I even lost a former SEAL teammate over there, Daniel Swift. I've donated thousands of my own dollars to equip American freedom fighters with medical equipment and protective gear so they can come home. But the reality is, Europe has had 80 years to rebuild their defense industrial complex since World War II. We have single-handedly, with sometimes 4 or 5% GDP spending, held up Western Europe's security bubble for them as they spend 0.5 or 1% GDP. We've been warning them for over a decade. You need to stand up and protect your own sphere of influence. You should build your own militaries because we cannot be counted on to protect the entire world any longer. And when we're looking down the barrel of $35 trillion of debt, a wide-open border, and threats all over the world from Taiwan to Korea, to Iran, to Russia, at some point, they need to step up and take care of their own problem. We can support them, and I do, but it's a slap in the face to Americans to be sending billions, hundreds of billions of dollars to secure another country's border when ours is wide open. That's not common sense.
Yeah, slap in the face to Americans. So well said. John, your thoughts?
Excellent answer. Perfect answer. I couldn't have written it better myself. And I saw a great interview Tucker Carlson did the other day. It's a two-hour interview with a Russian expert. And he shows you how this, why did Putin invade Ukraine twice now, 2014 and here in 2021? It's because of a 20-year pattern of American and European provocation, okay? And what he likened it to is, imagine if the Chinese were going to put their military bases down on the Mexican border, just on the other side of the Rio Grande. I mean, they might have a problem with that.
They're going for Cuba. They're doing Cuba anyway.
We might have a problem with that. That's what went on here. And he had been asking for 20 years, y'all stop doing that. Do not encroach anymore. I don't want NATO on my border. And going back to W. Bush all the way the last 20 years, our government and our foreign policy is basically just to give him the middle finger.
Yeah, but also, like, looking at it from another standpoint, Obama didn't do jack for Ukraine.
No.
He gave them blankets. And what's Putin do? He invades Ukraine. Donald Trump comes in and gives them lethal aid to Ukraine. Putin doesn't invade Ukraine.
And he got impeached for it.
Yeah, he gets impeached for it. No invading Ukraine when Donald J. Trump is president of the United States, but Biden and Tester take over, roll out the red carpet. Here we go, massive war spending once again. Man, what else do you need to say on that front, right?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Wyoming has now joined the list of states with highly pathogenic avian influenza infection in dairy cattle. The Wyoming Livestock Board and Department of Agriculture received confirmation late last week that the highly pathogenic avian influenza had been found in a dairy cattle herd in Wyoming. The National Veterinary Service Laboratory confirmed the infection, the first case of HPAI, in a Wyoming dairy farm. Wyoming State Veterinarian Hallie Hassel says the Livestock Board is encouraging all dairy producers to closely monitor their herd and contact veterinarians immediately if their cattle are symptomatic. The department also reiterated that dairies are required to ensure that only milk from healthy animals enters the food supply chain. In other news, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has condemned a recently announced Department of Defense-sponsored research grant that would fund the development of lab-grown meat products by a biotechnology manufacturing company called BioMade to feed American troops. NCBA says it's outraged that the Department of Defense is spending millions of taxpayer dollars to feed America's heroes like lab rats. They say U.S. cattle producers raise the highest quality beef in the world with the lowest carbon footprint, and American troops in all branches deserve to get that same wholesome, natural meat and not the ultra-processed lab-grown protein that is cooked up in a chemical-filled bioreactor. NCBA says America's troops deserve better. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Yeah. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Phone lines are open for you if you want to jump in on the conversation. I don't know if Robin and Whitefish wanted to talk on the radio or just wanted to share a message, but this is kind of a funny message. What if Sheehy wrote cowgirl as occupation? And that's like, what would some of our friends on the left, would they have to vote for him now? I mean, yeah, you got to be more woke. It's kind of like the Democrats in Missoula. You know, they elected a dude who identifies as a woman, you know, Zoe Zephyr, to the legislature there. So now you have a reliably liberal district. It could have had a liberal woman as their state lawmaker from Missoula. But, John, it's more woke to elect a man who identifies as a woman than a woman in Missoula. So that's what happened. Another woman loses an opportunity because of some dude. Speaking of that, hey, folks, I know our friends at KMMR Malta were doing a very great thing yesterday. You had a very important radiothon helping out a local family. But if you missed it yesterday on the show, Riley Gaines, this incredible female college athlete, swimmer, who's been standing up to save women's sports from this radical transgender agenda. Riley Gaines was in Whitefish yesterday, along with former Democrat Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Selena Soule, a track star out of Connecticut who lost a trophy because of men running as women. They had a big rally in Whitefish yesterday afternoon. I tweeted out a couple of photos from that. But we had Riley Gaines on Montana Talks. She was absolutely incredible. If you missed it, full audio on our Montana Talks website, or you can go back and listen later. But, yeah, that was huge. I don't know if you got a chance. You might have missed the Riley Gaines audio too, John, but you got to go back and listen to it. So powerful stuff.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. And can you explain to everybody what is going on with Tulsi Gabbard? What is she up to? What kind of messaging is she out there doing right now?
Well, she's pushing back on the woke left across the board. Actually, somebody asked me a couple of days ago, and I don't know if I ever I answered about a couple of other folks. I don't know if I ever, you know, responded on the Tulsi Gabbard question in particular. But everybody's speculating, who will Trump's running mate be now? You know, will it be, you know, you know, Byron Donalds out of Florida? Will it be Lee Zeldin out of New York? I think that's where my money would favor early on. But I'd say more like a Tim Scott or a Lee Zeldin. But, you know, Byron Donalds, I'd love to see Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as his running mate to tee up DeSantis for 28. But some people have also thrown out Tulsi Gabbard out there. And I've always respected Tulsi Gabbard. She's a fellow Iraq War veteran. I respected her service. I always respected her independence. Didn't agree with her on every issue, but you know, hey, she's a Democrat. I'm conservative, but I always respected her service, and that's why I thought it was so shameful that John Tester can't even thank Tim and Carmen Sheehy for their service and sacrifice. It's like, oh, you claim to be this big supporter of the vets, but you couldn't even be the bigger man and thank him for his service and sacrifice. But Tulsi, she's on this Take Back Title IX tour all across the country to save women's sports from this radical transgender agenda. But Riley Gaines, at this rally yesterday and on the show, she is fully supporting Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy because she knows John Tester voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms. John Tester supports these men taking away these opportunities from our girls.
Being a coach, I'm completely sympathetic to that, and having a daughter that runs as well at a high level, you see it. There's just no, there is no competition at all at the highest levels between men and women, boys and girls. There just isn't, because they're built differently. That's why all the times are different, the qualification times are different, the standards are different, all of that, because the girls just cannot compete with the boys in competitions of size and strength and speed. Now, of course, mentally, absolutely. Size, strength, speed, physicality, they can't do it.
Let's see. This was, I think it was Bob in Lewistown. Where did I put that message? I just had one here. I think it was Bob in Lewistown who was talking about, oh, yeah, Biden's executive orders on the border. So they, you know, Tester was backing this bill, the phony border bill that only would have made the border crisis worse. It would have made the border crisis permanent. They said, we need this bill. We need this bill. Executive action won't do the job. And then Biden did it via executive action anyway. Bob in Lewistown says this about Biden's executive orders. He issued all sorts of exclusions to these numbers. Among the exclusions, China, Iran, and other migrants from many other countries. So, John, this was one of the back and forths in the debate as well. John Tester was bragging about the executive action that Joe Biden just took and was bragging about this phony border bill. Oh, this would have secured our border, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, Joe Biden just issued these executive orders. They've already gone into effect. How's that working out?
Remember Biden's executive order to shut down the border if border crossings hit over 2,500 a day? Well, border crossings have been over 2,500 a day every day since Biden signed the order, and he hasn't shut it down. The day after he signed the order, there were 4,000 border crossings. The next day, there were 10,000. Anybody hear anything about Biden shutting down the border? You didn't, because he didn't.
Yeah, well said. That was Jesse Waters last night, Fox News primetime.
Bill Malusian is covering it. You know who Bill Malusian from Fox is? He's covering it minutely. And since Abbott down there in Texas erected all the walls and the stops and the guards against this, now the whole operation has moved over to California, and that's where Malusian is. And they are coming across nonstop. He is filming it, documenting it. It's right out there. We all knew Biden's order was going to be nothing but a bullshit smokescreen, and that's what it is.
That's right. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Tom in the Gallatin Valley, listening to 1450 KMMS. Tom, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just want to mention a little bit about John Tester, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Kentucky Rally. So typically during the day, I get whatever I can do accomplish, and around 6 or 7, I turn on the TV and go to YouTube and see what's on Israeli news and so forth. And every single YouTube station or everyone you can't find, every break, it's John Tester with a commercial. And it's, you know, telling and spewing lies about Tim Sheehy, how he lied about his wounds that he sustained. And it's just, the amount of money that must be getting pumped into the Tester campaign must be astonishing. But that's John Tester lying through his teeth as usual. But anyway, I'm going to be attending this Tim Sheehy and Tulsi Gabbard rally here in a couple days. And you were talking about Gabbard a little bit, but I don't know, have you ever heard her speak? She is very articulate. She's well-spoken. And if Trump decides to pick her, I think that would be a really good choice. Hopefully it would get some of these subdivision moms to think Joe Biden is awesome. Old M way, I don't know. But there's a lot of good choices on the Republican side, and I think she's one of them.
Yeah, the thing about Tulsi Gabbard, like I said, I've always respected her. I haven't always agreed with her on every issue, but I've always respected her independence. The thing I would say in support, in big support of Tulsi Gabbard right now, is when it comes to the most important issues of the day, pushing back against this woke agenda, targeting our kids with this radical transgender nonsense, Tulsi Gabbard is right, and she's right with us on the most important issues of the day, which is this woke agenda and this, and the trampling of our First Amendment rights, you know, the censorship, the government weaponization. You know, but there's probably some issues where she's definitely, you know, too far to the left of some of us. So some people might say, look, Trump's got this in the bag. He needs to go with a solid conservative running mate to tee up a conservative for 2028. That's certainly where I would be leaning. But I think if he picked somebody like a Tulsi Gabbard, man, if he didn't have it won yet, I think that would help solidify it because of the fact that, you know, people would see that as more of an independent style candidacy, and especially having a younger woman, a veteran on board there. I think having a veteran would be huge. John, your thoughts?
Ooh, boy, Aaron. Ooh, boy.
Yeah. That's where my hesitation is. That's where my hesitation is, which is you don't need a gimmick to win at this point because the American people are rejecting Joe Biden. That seems very apparent. Silicon Valley is turning on Joe Biden.
Let me tell you what. I'll use an analogy on Tulsi Gabbard. In law enforcement, we live by our informants, okay? I mean, I spent my whole life recruiting, cajoling, bringing these people over to my side, getting them to tell me everything they know, getting them to do everything I want them to do. Many times, even though I know this person is an absolute scumbag, and they're not only a scumbag, they are ratting out their former friends, okay? That's what you got here with Tulsi Gabbard, okay? I mean, I have to work with these informants, but every cop out there, every narc, every federal agent will tell you, never, ever, ever trust your informant and only let them know what they need to know. And that's it. Because at the end of the day, they are a snitch, okay? At the end of the day, Tulsi Gabbard is a Democrat. Period. Oh.
Well, but I tell you what, even if so, that still makes her endorsement of Tim Sheehy. She's doing a rally for him, apparently, in Whitefish on Thursday. And then, as we just heard, apparently, I saw an invite somewhere, too. They're doing an event in Bozeman. That is a massive endorsement for Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy, with a former Democrat presidential candidate endorsing the Republican in that Senate race.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, say it again. Say it a little louder for the people in the back. You and I were just BSing during the break there. But you said, if I'm Donald Trump, I'm picking
Byron Donalds.
I'm a big fan of Byron Donalds, solid conservative, black congressman out of Florida. He's the real deal. And, man, when he was in the Bronx, you could tell the people in the Bronx love Byron Donalds as well.
A true conservative, a true Trump supporter, and he takes it right to the media. He does not put up with any of their crap. And when they come, just like you see with DeSantis and Trump and like Carrie Lake, when they come at him with their bias, nasty crap, he just body slams them.
Just throws it right back at him. Yeah, that's right. Okay, phone lines are open for you. Plus, I'll try to queue up another highlight from the Senate race debate from the Montana Broadcasters Convention. Before we run out of time here, but let's go next to Sean in Libby. Sean, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, sir. I just want to say I sympathize to President Trump. I mean, this him and his family is going through so much. It's incredible. He's a real bastion of strength for the rest of this country. It's just incredible. I just want to put that out there. The other thing is, I like Tulsi Gabbard, but she's from Hawaii, and I question the politics of the Hawaiian government or the American government. I mean, the legislature down in Hawaii. I was stationed down there in the Marine Corps for 3 years, and that was back in the early 70s. From the 70s to now, that state has completely changed, and I don't know what effect that Tulsi Gabbard has on Hawaii to change it into a more conservative state. I'm sure she's made every attempt. But I like her. She's a good gal. She's all right.
Yeah.
But I like CeCe very much. A good man. He will get the job done for sure.
Did you watch the debate by chance at all? I know a lot of people don't watch these things anymore, but did you get a chance to see the debate, or what's your thoughts on the sound bites that I've played thus far this morning from the Sheehy tester debate?
Well, I caught a part of it. I like him. He's very articulate. He's right on the money. He knows his stuff. He's right up there with the best of the best. So there's no question that he's a good candidate, and I did vote for him in the primaries, and I'll vote for him again in the final election. There's no, absolutely.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let me play one more highlight from that Senate race debate. You know, I mentioned how, John Tester pretends to support veterans, but yet couldn't even thank Tim Sheehy and Carmen for their service and sacrifice over all these years. And why did Tim Sheehy have to be the bigger man there when the big guy couldn't be a bigger man during this debate, right? Anyway, but when it comes to veterans issues, I think Tim Sheehy really laid out the failures that we're seeing for veterans under the Biden Tester regime.
Mr. Sheehy, as someone who served in the military, how would you grade the job the federal government is doing at meeting the needs of veterans?
I'd give it a solid D. Right now we have record high veteran suicides in this country. We are giving more money per head to illegal immigrants in this country right now than we are to veterans. Free food, free housing, free flights, free health care, free clothing in many cases.
As they pour in by the millions, we have homeless veterans killing themselves on the street, overdosing on opioids. They can't get the care they need. Meanwhile, illegal immigrants are getting access to VA resources. They're getting access to taxpayer-funded resources when our own veterans aren't getting what they need. The worst problem with veteran care is the transition from active duty to VA care. That handoff has still not been figured out. After 20 years of constant war, I'm still helping every day wounded veterans, including one in Billings who's missing both his legs, make sure that he is personally getting the care that he needs from our local hospitals. And oftentimes, you know, we're helping folks like that get private care with donor money.
Yeah, anyway, I thought that was a great response. To me, that was also part of, that ties in with the biggest takeaway of this debate. Here is John Tester welcoming illegal aliens into Montana, but he's not so welcoming of military families that decide to call Montana home after their service, is he, John?
Yeah, and you listen to this. It's like that meme off of Twitter where, you know, it's Will Ferrell saying, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, right? All we have heard, now, what has it been, Aaron? 15 years about how the VA is messed up, and all they do is funnel more money at it and change the directors out all the time, and it's as bad as it ever was or close to it. And it's always going to be that bad. You know why? No matter how much money you funnel at it, because it's the government. It's government health care.
But the government was better under Trump. Right?
It's still government. It's still government health care. It's always going to be messed up, It's always going to be billions of dollars
CNN
down.
CNN has a story, just to further put a case in point here. CNN has a story. They gave out millions of dollars to these failed in wrongful bonuses to VA bureaucrats at the top, and now they're firing frontline VA workers. Surprise, surprise, surprise. John, great to have you with us this morning. Jerry in Hamilton, what's your final word for us this morning? Less than a minute to go.
Now, real quick, to John's point about Kelsey Gabbard, bottom line, being a Democrat, if that's the case, Ronald Reagan is still a Democrat. Donald Trump is still a Democrat.
Carrie Lake voted for Obama, right?
Yeah, they can change parties. I like Kelsey Gabbard. I think she'd be an excellent choice. That was my point. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for the call. You know, I wonder, somebody said that in Hawaii that her parents were actually very conservative, very Republican, but they, in order to run for office, you had to be a Democrat back then. It's kind of like the reverse Roscoe. You know, Mark Roscoe was basically a Democrat, but he was pro-life, and you couldn't get elected as a pro-life Democrat, so he ran as a Republican. So anyway, hey, appreciate the phone call. John, thanks for being with us. We're out of time for today.